We have this thing here called the H-Life series. The H-Life series. Let me hear it, church. Woo! We love us some H-Life here at New Season. That is who we are. That is what we are. That is how we bleed. It's how we sweat. It's how we breathe. It's how we sleep. It's how we eat. We eat H-Life. We sleep H-Life. We are H-Life. And the reason why we are those things is because H-Life is humility, love, integrity, faith, and excellence, excellence, excellence. And these are the core values that make us who we are. It gives us our identity. Jesus is in every single one of these factors. Call them factors, call them characteristics, call them what you will. Jesus is in them because he exudes all of these things. And so when we do these things for the same reason that he did them, we become an amazing thing called H-Life. H-Life, even in the secular realm, has had a life. Okay? It had an amazing life. Me and some other coaches, including Kevin Brown, we taught these things to youngsters and little ones, and we used it as a team-building type thing because we wanted kids to be humble if they were good. We wanted them to love one another so they'd go to battle for their brother or sister. We wanted them to have integrity. In other words, if you mess up, come tell me. I need to know so we can fix it. No big deal. There's no big deal. And ignorance is not a big deal unless you try to cover it up and you don't have integrity. Accidents are not a big deal unless you try to cover it up, that it's a lie. We want integrity. We wanted them to have faith in the coaching staff, the parents, each other. That way they knew their brother had their back. And we wanted them to do everything with the utmost excellence. And when we spread this message, and I told them it came from my church, and we do these things, they had the power behind this message was Jesus, you know, and I wasn't allowed to preach that per se, but they found out, and I'll tell you what, when those guys grew to be adults and pre-adults, young men, they would call upon me and Sharon and Kevin Brown and Coach Lance and all of us that were teaching H-Life at the time. They would even call Pastor Justin because he used to be one of their teammates in Jordan. They used to be teammates of these guys. And they would be like, hey, man, I'm having a rough patch, man. You know, and they knew that H-Life was in these individuals. And so it has not a power of its own. The power that is given to it is by Jesus. Now let's go ahead and pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to spread your word, to spread your gospel, to spread your message. I thank you that you've given me a platform here, Father God, and you've given me the vision, you've given me the words, you've given me everything that you've given to me, Father God. But I pray right now, even though I'm speaking, I pray that my words that will be made up in my head, Lord Jesus, that aren't yours, they would fall to the wayside, Father God, and burn like thistles, Father God, like thorns. And I pray that the good word, your word, Father God, that comes through me will flourish and will be planted deep in hearts and will grow, Father God, in no other way. And it will just be such an amazing, amazing, amazing thing that will help people grow. And today we speak about faith, God, the thing that gives us power and the conduit to you, Father. And we want that conduit to grow stronger. We want it to become from a 1-inch to a 2-inch flow, to a 5-inch flow, to a 10-inch flow. We want it all, God. We want that flow of faith, Father God, that power. We pray all these things right now in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. So today we're talking about faith. And the title is, Gotta Have Faith. We gotta have faith. Can you say that? I gotta have faith. I know you guys think George Michael said it first, but Jesus said it first. Got to have faith. You know how I know Jesus said it first? Read John chapter 1:1. That's why, because he was the Word. And he was there in the beginning, before George Michael. So that's how I know he said it first. And I have faith that he said it first. Something I want to go over a review real quick. Humility. wonderful preacher came up here to start this and kick this series off, named Pastor Sharon Williams, my beautiful wife. Very proud of her. It was her fourth time speaking ever as a speaker or a pastor? As a pastor, huh? Not just as a speaker, but as a pastor. Fourth time ever, and she just keeps getting better and better and better, and it's easier to learn from her more and more and more and receive that word. She is such a conduit of God's love and humility and word. And so she brought humility to us and delivered that crucial, crucial word. Pastor Justin brings love and teaches us how to love with more love and greater love. Pastor Jody brings us integrity and teaches us how to have integrity and to have that characteristic that when people look at us, they know the truth is coming out, because that's all that comes out is the truth all the time. And that's how they know Jesus is real, because you don't lie. Because when you say Jesus is real, your word means something, because you have what? Integrity. Now, if I could get three people, Jordan, if I could get you to come on up here. Here's a good one. Jody, if I could get you to come up here. And Hannah, this is my trimunitive. See, what am I going to do here? I'm going to say, this is love. This is humility. This is integrity right here. You see, the first three parts of H-Life are like pillars, okay? They very much are pillars to hold up the next two. Without these three, I want you guys to get in a formation. Show them what I was talking about, Hannah, in the office. Look at this formation. Put your hands up like this. Now, spread your legs out and lean into each other to where your weight's on each other. I mean, like you're going to fall on your face, Jody. There you go. Now, check this out. This right here is like a table. These are all pillars. I can put some weight on here, and they're going to hold me up. But if I was to take one of these out, the other two would fall over. Okay? Now I could take faith and put it up here, and I could take excellence and put it up here, and they're going to hold it up. But without one of these, without integrity, without love, without humility, I have nothing. I have nothing. Okay, you guys did good. Thank you. Give him a hand, everybody. Give him a hand. I wished I had some littler ones, because then I could actually kick a leg out, you know, without an injury. But Jody would be like, yeah, my man. That would probably hurt. It hurt me, brother. So anyway, so the next two, faith is where the power comes in to the other three. We have strength. And we have structure with the other three, and they're really holding up. They're really strong. You could, per se, live a Christian life with just these three things. And you could live a very good Christian life. If people saw love in you, if they saw integrity in you, if they saw humility, that's a good message. That's the gospel. Okay? But if you want the power, if you want that thing that separates the little Christians from the big Christians, and what I mean by that is sometimes we think of people with big names, Reinhard Bonnke, Joyce Myers, I could go on and on, the Barnetts, big faith people. I'm sure you guys have some names floating around, Pastor Furtick, Bishop, who goes all around the world, an apostle who goes all around the world, Pastor Sean, who goes, I mean, that guy had a dream 30-something years ago, and it's come to fruition. That's faith. That's faith. He wanted an island over here. God said, no, there's an island over here. And he was related to that island. He wasn't related to the other one. Isn't that amazing how God works? Faith. It takes all those things. So if you want the power, that's where faith comes in. That's where faith comes in. I have a little saying about faith, and I was telling the ladies when we were back in the office praying. I think faith is one of the easiest things to understand head knowledge-wise, but it's one of the hardest things to activate. You know why it is? Because not only are do you not think you're that person, but the enemy likes to whisper in our ear, tell us about our past. How dare you think that you could go lay hands on somebody and they recover like Jesus did? You're not Jesus. You're the person that stole that candy bar. You're the person that went to that certain website. Oh, you're the person who lied. You're the person who did this or did that. Man, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 in Amplified. It says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in calm, well-balanced mind and self-control." These are characteristics of faith. When you have these things, self-control. When you realize it's Jesus through me, not myself, but Jesus is asking me to go lay hands. I'm going to mention two people that have faith in this church. And you're going to have a bigger understanding of something. Now, I realize I had a discussion with somebody about cancer and arthritis and all these other things and spiritual roots and things like that. But our sister Mary has immense faith. Okay? Whatever's whatever from the past, right, Mary? Whatever is whatever, that's in the past, right, Mary? But you know who Jesus is now. And you can lay hold of Jesus now. And we can join with her and have faith that she's healed and continues to be healed over and over again. Thank you, Jesus. That is a person of faith right there. There's a person of faith next to her. There's another person of faith next to him. And so on and so forth. We have a church full of people that do have faith. I think sometimes we only go to a certain place in our faith, though, and we go, okay, that's good enough. That's a lot of faith right there. I'm good. I'm crushing right now. Peter. Peter saw Jesus walking on the water. And the message Jesus was preaching all the time was, you can do what I do. You can do what I do. That was the gospel. You can do what I do. I'm going to save you if you just listen to this lesson. Do what I say. Do what I do. Peter got it. Peter stepped out of the boat. And everybody wants to focus on how he sank. He stepped to the Lord. He walked on water. Have you walked on water? I haven't. I have not walked on water. But there was a man besides Jesus. Everybody always just says Jesus walked on water. Peter did too. A regular, red-blooded, flesh and bone man. A regular human like us. Oh. Bye, Dolores. Can we pray for you real quick? Please, come on over here. We wanted to do something at the end of service, but if you're going to step out, then we need to do it right now. We're going to fast forward to the end of service right now, you guys. I wanted to talk about unity. If I could have you come up front and if I could have my prayer team come up here. Marion, Ed, and pastors. And church, if you could stand up. Her husband Bob is in the hospital right now. He's home. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. He's home. Look, it's already working. Would you like some oil? You're good? A little bit of oil. Oil. We're going to pray that he continues to be healed. Right now, we're going to join together in faith that Bob continues to be healed. And Dolores is going to stand in proxy.
Our great Father in heaven, we pause in the middle of this service to ask that you glorify our brother Bob. We ask that you be with him, that you guide him, and you make him whole, Father. Father, every week, week in and week out, we get a collection of documents from Bob that helps lead us down the path that you have chosen. We ask, Father, don't take this from us. Give him strength. Give him wellness, Father. Give the doctors the knowledge and the understanding to help him at this time. Almighty God, we pray a special blessing upon this family. We ask that you would give them strength, understanding, knowledge, and the ability to worship you one more time. We ask, Father, all of these things in your most holy name, and amen.
Father God, I would ask right now where Bob is at home, Lord, that you would cover him. Lord, your word says that you cover us with your robe of righteousness. It's not anything we do, but it is what you have already done. And Father God, I thank you that Bob is covered with a robe of righteousness, that there's no sin in him. Lord, that you are able to pour over him oil of anointing, oil of gladness, oil of healing, just like we've touched Dolores' hands with oil today. Lord, I ask that she would go home and she would lay her hands on Bob's head. And Lord, that the healing would flow, that you're already flowing now. But Lord, that you give a manifestation even more so when she gets home to him. And Lord God, we love them. We love them, Lord. You loved us. You love Bob. You love Dolores. And all of us that are here, Lord, I just ask for this healing in your precious son's name. Amen.
Thank you, prayer warriors. Thank you for everybody who came up. And Dolores, give Bob a hug for us. Love that big guy. Love you. Thank you for letting us pray. Thank you, prayer warriors. Thank you. Thank you, church, for letting us take that pause and activating our faith. It's really important. Like I said before, I think it's really easy to understand faith. When we look at Reinhard Bonnke and you see people falling like grains of wheat, and you're like, wow, look at the Spirit move. And you understand it, but if you were standing on the stage, would you wave your hand and expect it to happen? Yikes. Faith is the assurance that things revealed and promised in the Word are true, even though unseen, and gives the believer a conviction that what he or she expects in faith will come to pass. Once again, this is the biblical definition right here of faith. Faith is the assurance that the things revealed and promised in the Word are true, even though unseen, and gives the believer a conviction that what he or she expects in faith will come to pass. It's a belief. This is going to happen. God said this, lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. God says to pray and he will hear. Okay. God says all these promises. I want to talk about two people of faith real quick. We're not going to get to them. You don't have these scriptures. But the Roman officer from Matthew chapter 8, 5 through 13, he comes to Jesus. We know the story. He comes to Jesus. Jesus has his entourage with him. And they're cruising. They're going somewhere else. And he says, Jesus, yo, check this out. I got someone sick. And I know if you just say the word, they'll be healed. Jesus says, let's go to your house. He says, no. I understand. I'm a man of great power, just like yourself. I say to this centurion, go, and they go. I say to this one, come, and they come. And you're the same way. You tell the angels what to do. You tell sickness what to do. You tell disease what to do. You just say the word, Jesus, and I know it's done. Jesus says the word. The officer leaves. He goes back to his place. They're healed. And Jesus turns to his disciples and says, I've never seen faith like this before. Never. In all of my walk in humanity, these 30-something years, have I seen this kind of faith. And then there's the woman with the issue of blood. Great faith again. She realized, if I could just touch the hem, if I could just touch the hem of Pastor Jody's pant legs that she has pegged right there, I will have pegged legs forever. I will be healed if I just touch the peg of her leg. Pegging means roll. It's like rolling, you know. Anyways, all you early 90s and late 80s kids know. But she had such faith. Huge faith. Huge faith. If I just touch. And I love the question. Jesus gets touched. He probably couldn't even actually feel it in his body, in his physical body. But there was just a little tug on his cloak or whatever you call gown or whatever they wore back then. Little tug, and she was healed because of her faith and the power that came through Jesus. And he turns, he said, who touched me? You got to understand, there was a huge crowd around him. He probably was like this going through the crowd, you know, being touched a lot, mostly by his disciples. And his disciples automatically, like we are, oh, you're funny, Jesus. Who touched you? Come on, man. Are you serious? Everybody's touching you, Jesus. They're all trying to touch you right now. He says, no. Somebody touched me. Somebody pulled something out of me. You got to understand, somebody had faith. And she stands there trembling. She's not ready for this because there's the Lord Almighty. And she knows because she has faith. She knows because she was just healed. This woman with the issue of blood was paying all of her money. She had wealth, and she spent all of her money, all of her years trying to get this disease taken care of, and she ran herself through it. She ran herself through it down to the bone, and she had no options left over, and she heard of a man named Jesus who was healing lepers. She heard of a man named Jesus who was healing the blind. She heard of a man that was causing men to walk and men to see, and men to hear. And salvation was happening. Great things were happening. And he just wasn't talking to Jews. He was talking to Gentiles. Samaritans. Those dogs. That's what the Bible says. Jews thought of Samaritans as dogs. He was healing them all. Surely he'll heal me. Surely if I bet. And I'm just a lowly woman. That's how they thought back then. I'm not making this up. I'm just a lowly woman. I can't get an appearance with him. I can't get 5 minutes with him. But if I just were to touch the hem of his garment, I'll just sneak in and sneak back out. Nobody will know. But God knew. God knew because the faith was so strong that it pulled something out of him. It pulled something out of him greatly. This is faith. Now, I can give you personal experiences where I've seen things like that, but now that we know what faith is, I want you to get past your fears. Because we often focus too much on where we've been and where we're from. I come from a nasty neighborhood off of 97th Street and Broadway. Thank you, Mark. The hood. The trailers is what I call it. Okay? Bad neighborhood. Probably every third house you knock on, you could get G. Every house you could get weed. And every other house you get heroin. And it was mixed with senior citizens, bikers, and Mexicans. And sometimes the Mexicans were bikers. That's just my hood. That's the way it was. Loved it because we had protection from the bikers. The little old ladies would always feed me. And my Mexican friends' mothers would feed me. It was great. As a kid, I thought so. And then as I got growing up, I realized how terrible that neighborhood was, actually. And I started becoming like the neighborhood. That's where I'm from. That's my past. It's who I was. It's who I was. Who were you? It doesn't matter who you were. We all made poor choices, and they set back our experiences. But it isn't about where you've been. It's about where you're going. The person I was isn't the person I am, nor is it the person that I hope to become. Say this with me. The person that I was isn't the person I am, nor is it the person that I hope to become. You see, God wants your attention to be focused on the present. He wants you to take look straight ahead, because what he has for you is not behind you, but in front of you. Reminding yourself of your past mistakes does nothing for you today. It doesn't help you. People get so stuck looking back on the storms they've weathered that they don't notice where their ship is headed. They look at their flaws and their faults, and they should be looking forward to the greatness that God has planned for them. They're too focused on what the enemy is up to and not focused on what God is doing in their lives right now. Focus on what God's doing on your life right now. Forget about every demon behind every stone. It doesn't matter. They don't have the power. You know why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Done. Done. Have the faith. It's done. It's over. When Jesus died, what did he say? It is finished. He's the author and the finisher. It's already finished. The story's been told. You have the power. You need the faith. Looking back is the same thing as dropping an anchor. It is choosing to be still and to be stagnant, to do nothing. Don't drop an anchor when God is telling you to open up the sails. Don't let yourself focus on the negative when the positive is just within reach. Your best days are not left in the past. Faith is the light that shines in through the tunnel. It is the compass that points north when you get off course. Faith is what you have left when everything else seems so far away. It isn't always easy to have faith, but it's always necessary. Faith is what gives us as Christians the strength to carry on despite our circumstances. Kayleen. Girls in a van. Our circumstances. People that are addicted to drugs that know God. People that are alcoholics that know God. People that cheat. People that lie. People that have lost their job and they're habitual at something that they can't keep a job. Circumstances. It's time to get past those circumstances. Those things that hold us back. Those things that keep us down. It's true. What happened, happened. It's not gonna go nowhere, but it's in the past. It's in the past. Me and Eminem had a little moment the other day. Was it last Sunday? I think it was. She met me at the door. She's getting ready to leave. God reminded me of what a miracle it was that those five girls lived in that van. Because the trooper told me they weren't supposed to. He said, nobody lives in an accident like that. He said, the fact that your daughter was able to die with a smile on her face on sudden impact, I'm very thankful for that. She didn't have to suffer. But I'm also thankful that five beautiful young ladies lived that weren't supposed to. And it was an accident. And it did terrify this church. It did immortalize us. And it crippled us for a moment. It also reminded us of so many things. How good God can be. How great he can be. Because let me explain. If you've never heard the explanation of that accident, and I'm sorry if this is too graphic for you. But what happened was there was a 90-mile-per-hour old man in a big, thick, like Lincoln or something like that, right? It was a big car, Continental or something. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Hit the van. The seat failed on Kayleen's side, and only one girl was wearing a seatbelt. Okay? The rest of them came flying up because of the centrifugal force into one pocket on the right side front. Okay? So Taylor gets folded in half by Mackenzie. Airbag goes off over her head. Doesn't decapitate her. Okay? So she's not injured from that, but she's injured from the crushing. But she's folded in half. She has her seatbelt on. She's safe. Mackenzie, because the airbag went off, got pinned to the ceiling, and not flown out the window. And because there was a corking or a stoppage right there in that corner, the other three flew up against that stoppage and were saved from flying out the vehicle. That's right, Mark. That's right, you guys. That's right, Jody. Praise Jesus. That moment was created by him. You cannot tell me it wasn't. There is no happen chance. There is no things like that but God. They survived because God. And although they were broken, and although we spent some time in the hospital together, and although insurances and lawyers and all this stuff, there's one here today, and there's others out there walking around, and they're healthy, and they're living for God. And they know what God's done in their life. And we had that moment, and she even said, thank you so much for sharing that with me, because I could just remember God was just reminding me. We always think it's tragedy, it's tragedy, it's tragedy. But sometimes God can take a tragedy and turn it into a beautiful thing, because that's what God makes. He makes beautiful things. I have two scriptures here, and I want you to look at how amazing God is. One's from the Old Testament, the other one's from the New Testament. Okay, please, for somebody. First one, Psalms 107. It's going to be 28 through 31 in the Amplified. It says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He hushed them. Thank you, sir. Okay. He hushed the storm to a gentle whisper so that the waves of the sea were still. Then they were glad because of the calm, and he guided them to their desired haven or harbor. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and his wonderful acts to the children of men. Now, remember when this was written, it was hundreds of years before this other one was written. Hundreds of years. So let's go ahead and get Mark chapter 4, 37 through 40. And you guys all know this story. And the prophet said it first. And a fierce windstorm began to blow, and the waves were breaking over the boat so that it was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern asleep with his head on the sailor's leather cushion. And they woke him up, said, teacher, do you not care? We're about to die. Next. And he got up and sternly rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. Or some versions say, peace, be still. And he muzzled. And the wind died down as if it had grown weary. And there was at once a great calm and a perfect peacefulness. And Jesus said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith and confidence in me? You see, these scriptures were written hundreds of years apart. But the prophet knew this was going to happen because he was in the Spirit. There's no happen chance that the prophet David says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and they brought them out of their distress, and he hushed the storm. It says he hushed the storm in the New Testament. It said there was a storm, and they went and got him. It says the Lord in the Old Testament. These right here, I'm pointing this out, not only because Jesus is saying, do you not have faith in me? But I'm also pointing this out because look at what our God can do. Hundreds of years apart, two different authors, Mark and David. Now, was Mark reading Psalms? Because Psalms was around in the scrolls. Was he reading it? And then he's like, hey, disciples, let's go reenact this. It'd be so cool. And then we'll write about it. No, he didn't do that. This was legit. Dude just met Jesus, and they're out in the boat, because this was early on when Jesus was collecting disciples, when he was collecting his crew. This was early on. There was no reenactments. This is just an enactment. It happened. This is real. And Jesus is real, and God is real. That is how God works. So what is so important about faith? What is so important that we have to have faith? Well, It's very important. Not only is it important in each life, but it's also important when they're talking about putting on the armor of God. The Bible describes it as a shield. It's something that protects us. It's not only something that protects us, it's something that goes out in front of us. It's the first thing you see when I walk in. You're going to see my shield. You see my shield and what it looks like. You're going to remember that symbol that's on the front. You're going to remember the color. You're going to remember where swords have hit it and rivets that might have popped out, or if I've been taking care of it exquisitely. If it shines, if my leather is soaked so it's ready to put out the fiery darts that the enemy sends, you're going to look at this thing. That's the first thing you're going to see. Not my helmet of salvation, not my breastplate of righteousness, not my shoes of peace, not my belt of truth. You're going to see this, my shield of faith. That's what the enemy is going to see too. That's what the enemy wants to penetrate. That's what the enemy wants to go through. And what you got to understand, can I get the picture of the Roman soldier up there? Hopefully it comes through real good. Oh, it's big. It's big. Well, kind of get the concept. He's got the shield out in front of him, and he's got his sword behind him, ready to attack. Ready to attack. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, therefore put on the complete armor of God so that you will be able to successfully resist and stand your ground in the evil day of danger. And having done everything that is the Christ as Christ's demands, to stand firm in your place, fully prepared, immovable, and victorious. This is the way. This is the way to be victorious. This is the way. The first thing is faith. The first thing that the enemy will see, the first thing, it doesn't talk about it first in the scripture, but it is literally the first thing that's standing out here. It's what's going to protect us. It's like the city that's on the hill that's lit up. Everybody's going to see it. If we could get the picture of the all the soldiers together. This right here was one of the first armaments, like a unit of men going together that acted a lot like a tank, an armored vehicle with lots of legs. Okay, and I want you guys to notice something. When I was up here earlier and we were praying for Dolores, I wasn't even in there. It's not because I don't have faith. I'm really quick to go run and pray for somebody. I love it. I love laying hands on somebody and watching them be healed, and also just the spirit and the peace and everything that changes with them. Sometimes people aren't healed instantaneously, but sometimes God puts like a spirit of peace on them. The Holy Spirit just comes on them, and it's so amazing. Or they're just so thankful that somebody cared enough to step out that way. So there's just so many things that transpire during prayer and laying hands on. I won't get into the science of it because there's a huge science on it. And it's really neat if you wanted to look that up sometime. But right here is the body. The corporate body, the church. We are. Okay. Here's the church right here. That's you guys and all your shields of faith. This is you guys together. That's the Facebook New Season prayer group. That is the other prayer group that some of us have joined, many prayer groups. And we pray for many things. That is us right there. Our shield of faith is out there. But it's not just blocking things. It's taking ground. Because there's shoes of peace right there that are going forward constantly. You got a two-edged sword that could come out from these slits at any time. Constantly taking ground. It takes unity. Mark, Christian, Kevin. Come on up here, gentlemen. Let me see here. Sharon Weingartner. Let me see. Terry. Come here, Sharon. I'm standing in between these two blokes. I got English there for a minute. Susu. Come on up here. Now, if I put those big old 5'4" shields in front of these guys and gals, and they were united and holding them up and going forward, you wouldn't be able to tell what size or sex, what color their hair was, how bad their breath smelled, any of that stuff. You would just see six people united under Christ, wearing this, having the same shield with the same purpose, going the same way. You wouldn't be able to tell that Sharon's leading them all either. That's the general right there, by the way. When it comes to being a prayer warrior, that is the general. Sorry, guys. It's just the truth. I got to have the belt of truth. So, I want you guys to look at this and remember. This is how the body works. This is how the body works. There is no, when it comes to faith, there's no stats. There's no 6'2" and can shoot the ball like this or can throw the ball this far, or rushing yards. None of that stuff. There is, I have faith because I've seen it and done it. Or on the other hand, I just choose to believe. I'm going to believe. God's word said it, and I believe it. That's not what settles it. God said it. That's what settles it. Because there is an old saying, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No. You don't have to believe it to settle it. God already settled it. So the saying is, God said it, that settles it. I choose to believe it. I choose to believe that when I get down and pray, when I lay hands on, when I go out and do my Christian act, when I incorporate H-Life into my life, I choose to believe that this is going to be a better world, better community, a better family, a better everything, and that there will be power that comes through. And then when I join up with my brothers and sisters, even more and greater things can happen. Thank you, guys. You guys can sit down. Give them a hand, please, for being such great faith warriors. And in closing, and I'm not going to be one of those preachers that says in closing five times. We skipped Ephesians chapter 6:16, but that just says, shield of faith that extinguishes the flaming arrows from the evil one. Get it up. We talked about that. But I really do want to make a point of linking your faith with others. It's really important that this happens right here. It's really important that this happens. If you tell somebody you're going to pray, pray. Don't say, oh, I'm gonna do that. My advice is do it right now. Right now. Because I know me, and I typically forget, and every once in a while I'll remember, or sometimes she'll remind me, or sometimes the Holy Spirit reminds me. Thank God for those reminders, but it is better to do it right now. So yeah, let's link up in faith. So many times I've been so proud of this church. In the prayer warriors in this church. You know, Harold said some amazing things when we went to go visit him at the hospital. He said that he just loves you guys. He loves this church. He said when he came in here, he felt home. And they had been to other churches and looked. But because when he came in here, you guys did not judge him for things. Well, you know what I'm talking about. He didn't get judged. He got loved. He got welcomed. You guys did that because you guys are Jesus. You guys are the church. You guys were Jesus to him, and that was amazing. This is a good church for that. We don't judge here. We try not to. It doesn't come out of your mouth anyway. Thank you. That's a good step forward. I know how the mind works. I get it. But, you know, he just said great things because a nurse had come in and how do you guys, at first she goes, is that your brother talking about me? I was like, yeah, we're brothers. We're brothers. And then he goes, oh, that's actually one of my pastors. And she's one of my other pastors. And I go to this great church and he just starts going on and on and on about us. And she was like, wow, I think I want to visit your guys' church. He was like a good marketing system for us. But no, I really want to encourage you guys. This is one of the first times I think I've ever done anything without trying to see if there's some kind of ministry response at the end. We are going to have a prayer team. Our Hendersons are going to be over here. And but Ed told me, Mary, Ed told me. I'm sorry. But if you guys need prayer afterwards, after we close, please go get prayer from them. I just wanted to do a good old-fashioned teaching about what faith was and how it works with our fears and just how to get it going, how we get it individually and how we get it in unity, okay? And that's really important. Like I said, we got the pillars, humility, love, and integrity. Now let's move on for power. Excellence to me is like definition. It defines everything that all the other things are. It's like getting your TV and you go from analog to a digital signal and then from digital signal to 4K and then 5K, 1080p, whatever the greatest latest is. And you're just like, wow, this is almost 3D and that's next. But that's what excellence does. It helps you to see things greatly, okay? And when you start polishing up all the other things that you are and what you do in your Christian walk, people look at your excellence and they go, wow, look at that. It's very attractive. I know sometimes we have love, but it's sloppy agape. Agape means godly love, by the way. But sometimes it is sloppy. I know mine is sometimes. Sometimes it's good love and sometimes it's not. I'm just being real up here, like my wife always says. She says, I think they like my preaching because I'm real. I said, yeah. It's true. That's why they like your preaching. Ha ha. I love you guys and keep praying for the pastors and you are dismissed.